It's the Bulls Guys Podcast with your host Kenyatta Wright and Kataka.
What's good, fam?
On today's episode, Kataka, we're going to discuss the Bulls' victory over the Utah Jazz. I know you're highly opinionated about that. Mm-hmm. Also going to give our opinions on Billy Donovan's contract extension news that had broke out. He was extended before the season started. Why was Jerry Reinsdorf hiding it from Bulls media and Bulls Nation? All that and more right after this break. The Bulls Guys Podcast can now be heard on YouTube. Get all your latest news, debates, rants right here on the Bulls Guys Podcast. All right, we're back on the Bulls Guys Podcast. So, Kataka, man, yesterday, reading your comments on Bulls Eye, I didn't catch the Bulls game. I had a lot of arrangements, but did plan on watching the game later on. And you were very opinionated on how the Bulls performed yesterday. Apparently, they were trailing in that game. And I got a chance to watch the replay and didn't like what I saw with all the switching. And leaving three-point shooters open, preferably Lauri Markkanen and forgot the other brother's name.
That Beasley.
In Boston. No, the other boy that got the head tie that used to play in Boston. Beasley as well.
Yeah.
His name loses me. The guy that used to play in Boston. But you know who I'm talking about. But
yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Those three gentlemen were able to get wide open threes because the Bulls were overcompensating to the paint area, switching, double teaming every single Utah Jazz player that got the ball. And as a result, Nikola Vucevic, Andre Drummond, and Ayo, just to name a few Bulls players, were missing rotations. And the Bulls had to battle back. They battled back from as many as 11-point deficit and got the game back. And late in that third quarter, as the Utah Jazz surrendered the lead 74-73 in the third quarter, and the Bulls would not look back and would end off the Jazz 114-107. Closest the Utah Jazz got at that point was 94-98. And DeMar DeRozan getting, you know, the foul call and the free throws put the Bulls up six, and the Bulls just never looked back after taking that lead in the third quarter. But your opinion on that game last night, Kataka, like, what was your thoughts? I know you gave your thoughts on Bullseye Group, but, you know, I really wanted you to give your thoughts on this podcast. You were very disgusted with the Bulls play.
Yeah, despite the win, man, like what you mentioned, it's just the fact that we did not exploit Vooch in the middle. I think, and even Stacey Keen even mentioned this, man, is that Vooch could have had a field day because there was nobody really his size that could compete with him in that post. And they started out.
Olenek, that's his name. That was the other player. I knew his name was on front of me.
Yeah, Olenek. Yeah, I forgot all about him.
Kelly Olenek.
But yeah, they did not exploit that enough, man, because even though Olenek may have had the size, I mean, the height, but Vooch could have, man, had a field day. It's like, they went away from that. They, you know, started doing a lot of ISO, and just it's like they was going away from sharing the ball. So I was really pissed off about that. And another thing, like you said, on the defensive end is that they let Markkanen, man, 24 points in the first half. Lauri Markkanen. I mean, they was getting caught up on our guards, getting caught up on screens too easy. They were switching every damn time. And we're just leaving Markkanen open. It was leaving Beasley open. Beasley eventually got hot as the game went on. So I was really disgusted by the fact that we, at all these times, we still can't get over getting around screens and not exploiting the post. Because all Vooch, if they would have double-teamed Vooch or even figured out the game plan, a couple of times he would dish that ball back out and we would get a good shot. Night, but they didn't go away. They didn't go with that, man. And I think that a lot of ISO ball and a lot of erratic plan, you know, they could have had this game won early on. But some of the guys in the bullseye was like, hey, a win is a win. I'm not hearing that shit, because this is like the second season under Billy Donovan, second or third season under Billy Donovan, and we still doing the same old stuff. It's like good teams, they call themselves a good team. Good team would not change his game plan. They would make other people adapt to them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it just seems like that we fall into the same trap every single game. And if we went beat Milwaukee and good teams like Milwaukee and Boston, it seemed like we revert back to the same old stuff. Yeah, we got the win, but it's not good enough. So yeah, I was disgusted.
Well, it's hard to be in bad spirits when you won three out of your last four. Now, I'm with you, Kotaka. I definitely don't look at just the wins. I look at progression and your results as performance, you know, the performance that you put out on the floor every game. I look at progression in that area. And to me, the Bulls, number one, they don't have players that can go out and guard stretch fours that can shoot the ball. And after I thought about it for a little while, I'm like, hold up, we do. Derrick Jones Jr. and Javonte Green could have been put on Lauri Markkanen. But, you know, I mean, the problem is Billy Donovan's not having these guys on the floor. He's having these guys on the bench. You know, we were struggling to rebound yesterday, and he had Drummond on the bench. Then he finally put Drummond in, and Drummond had like he put Drummond in that sequence. I believe it was in the third quarter. With Dragic and Drummond had two back to back, you know, alley oop dunks and backdoor plays, and then he had a fast break, a steal and a fast break for a Eurostep layup. So, you know, Drummond had some positive things to happen for him when he got in the game. And I'm like, see, this is what we're missing. This is why you need to play all of your guys. I just think this Chicago Bulls team, when you look at the roster, they have a lot of versatility on his team. They can play a lot of different ways. So you should never have a game where a team is just beating you down in certain areas. And it's just, I don't know, attention to detail, you know, maybe it's the coach, maybe it's the players. One particular play that disgusted me was when DeMar DeRozan came down the court. I believe this was in the fourth quarter, and he looked right at Vooch in the post and refused to give Vooch the ball. And I'm like, what? I didn't understand that at all, Kotaka. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, hold up. Like, you really didn't give him the ball? And he was wide open. And then he ignored him, and then on the next play, he tried to give it to Caruso in the same spot, and Caruso wasn't even open. And I'm like, dude, you gotta be smarter than that, man. Like, you're a veteran player. You're not new. Like, you've been in the league for a long time, and you've been in the league longer than Vooch, I think.
Yeah, he has. And the crazy part is, I remember that play distinctively. And at that moment, that actually took me to a boiling point, because Vooch called for that ball. This ain't the first time that DeRozan called for the ball, and DeRozan or somebody else, LaVine, didn't throw him the ball. And then when Caruso tried to force it in, that the window was so tight, it's like, that's a bad pass.
Yeah,
you know, because there's been times Io just completely just ignored Vooch. Vooch is like calling for it, and they weren't about screwing up, and that's gonna cost them, man. Because it's like, I can't get mad at Vooch. Hey, you know what? Let me switch my game up. I'm gonna go to low post. But like Stacy said, that it's gonna come to a point that Vooch gonna be like, man, screw this. They ain't dishing me the ball in the paint when I'm calling for it. I'm gonna go back to trying to shoot threes.
And I've seen times where Vooch had the ball, if DeRozan was open, it was the opposite, and he gave DeRozan the ball. This is, you call this a USC teammate, and you play in USC with him, and this is how you treat him? Like, he's wide open, give him the ball, dude. Right. And DeRozan, I don't know, man. Like, he has a lot of fans in Chicago, and rightfully so. He's our biggest scorer. But I feel like just because you're the best scorer in the team, that doesn't give you freedom. That doesn't free you from criticism. I think he's made a lot of bad choices in games. He's still doing the same thing. Last season, I felt like he was holding on to the ball a little too long and not beating the defense to the punch. You know, the defense would trap him and then force him into turnovers, and he still refused to pass it. And, you know, it's like, yo, dude, like, you've been in the league for a long time. You didn't have any success with Toronto. You said you want to be in the finals. You wish that you was on Toronto when they won, when they had Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. That team passed the ball. They played together. That's why they won. If you was a part of that team and replaced a Kawhi Leonard, they probably still wouldn't have won, because you can't have one guy just compensating the ball. You can still be the leading scorer and everybody touches the ball.
Right.
And I feel like he messes up the continuity of the team. And that's why we're getting on most guys like, damn, why is he doing this? Why isn't he producing? Why isn't he producing? They're not getting in rhythm. They're standing around watching one guy shoot the basketball. And that,
I'm sorry. I was going to say, and that brings me to my point that I mentioned on Bullseye. Those two, him and Levine, obviously can't work together. And that's what the critics were saying, that those having those two guys on the court for some reason is not going to jail. Because it seemed like sometimes Levine, when DeRozan is getting off and he's doing his thing, it seemed like Levine in the fourth quarter said, okay, it's my turn. Let me go ahead and get my shots in. I pick up on that every single time DeRozan has a good night. And that's not the chemistry to win a championship.
The Utah Jazz were 10-3 to start the season, and now they're 12-11, so they went 2-8.
Yep.
Their last 10 games.
Yep. They fizzled. Yep.
6-3 at home. They have a really good home record. Chicago is 4-6 away from the United Center. They're 9-11. And this game, it was pretty even with the stats. The Bulls shot 46% from the field. Utah shot 48%. From three-point land, the Bulls shot a brutal 6-for-22 from three and 27% from the three-point land for the Chicago Bulls. 19-for-48 for the Utah Jazz. That's not that much better. 38% rebounds. The Bulls had the edge over the Jazz, 50-45.
That points in the paint.
Mm-hmm. The Bulls won the points in the paint by 20, 64-44. That's probably where the difference was.
Yeah.
And I think that we can contribute that mostly to, you know, Andre Drummond being in the game when he was in there.
We're not a great three-point shooting team, as people think.
Right.
We're not. Because Zach, I mean, he's a scorer, but he's not that great of a three-point shooter. You know what I'm saying? And I want him to do more cutting than anything. Right. If he has that burst of speed, he got to do more cutting, man, because he just – that step back shot, that kills it. And another point I wanted to mention, Patrick Williams. I don't know about marketing for nothing. Marketing, I mean, it just seemed like he's acting remedial, man. It's just like he's not paying attention to the guy that he's guarding, because this time Lauri Markkanen did the okie doke on him and driving, and it's one play he just, man, did a little head fake, and Patrick Williams looking at who had the ball and marking it, just cut straight to the basket. They went for alley-oop dunk. You know, it's just like, I'm I don't know. I just told, like I mentioned to somebody on Bulls, that if we can just improve, and our bench is cool, if we can improve in two or three positions in that starting lineup, we'll have a much better record.
Well, the person that shocked me for the night was Kobe White. I really, really like what I saw from him in the game. He was my player of the game for Bullseye. He was aggressive. You know, he was fearless, you know, on the open floor. I like the dunk that he had on Markkanen. I like the clutch three-point shooting. This is like the second game where I liked his clutch three-point shooting towards the crucial moments of a game. He had a few in Milwaukee as well.
Right.
Kobe is starting to look more and more confident coming into his own, and you need that spark plug coming off the bench. And believe me, now I think he's our best bench player.
Yeah, he's definitely improved his game. My question for you is, okay, now it's going to get tough, because if we continue to stay under 500, we don't get any better. As we approach the trade deadline, okay, who's going to stay? Who's going to go? Did Kobe boost his trade value, or are you just going to keep him on for the rest of the season? Because you need that spark plug.
Well, if I'm being fair about things, there's a couple guys that shouldn't be on this team before I even mention Kobe White. And one of them I would say is Derrick Jones Jr. Another one I would say would be possibly Vooch. And another one I would say is possibly Patrick Williams. You know, but out of all of those guys I mentioned, Vooch is the one that I'm like, I'm a little in between on, because I don't feel like the Bulls players and the coach has given him the opportunity to play the way you want him to play. So can we really blame Vooch at the end of the day that he's not being used the right way? You know, so really trade Vooch, you know, because I feel like with the right coach, we would get the Vooch that we need. Moving forward with this group, I wouldn't make any major changes. I feel like most of the Bulls' problem is coaching. I feel like they're not being guided in the right direction. I said it at the beginning of the season. This is the deepest team in the Eastern Conference. You can't have more scoring options than this. I mean, what do you need? You got the big three. You got DeRozan, Vucevic, and LaVine. Then you got Dosunmu and Patrick Williams. And you have Kobe White off the bench. Three young stars right there. Then you have a hard-working Javonte Green. You have former All-Stars in Andre Drummond and Dragic. You have Alice Caruso, NBA champion with the Lakers. You know, one of the hardest and toughest, tenacious defenders in the league. I mean, what more do you need? Then you have a young Dalen Terry. I mean, listen, I put the right coach with this team. They're winning 50 games. They're winning 50 games. I'm saying that in a confident way. And they're going to be one of the top teams in every category, in offense, defense, everything. So it just mind boggles me how this team only won 9 games out of 20. It's just it's insane.
You're right. And I think it is because of coaching, because we don't game plan against teams. Teams game plan against us, but we don't never have a game plan or to adjust. Unless the only way we adjust if we're down by 20 damn points, and we don't have the right team sometimes to really come back from a huge deficit every single night, being down 20 points. But since you say you wouldn't make any drastic change, if it come down to it that we need to make a change, because me personally, I think we need to make a change. Like you say, I don't know how big or small. But we're going to need to have to make a change. But what change would you make?
If I had to make a change, believe it or not, and this is going to shock you, I would trade DeMar DeRozan.
That's a great point.
I would, because I feel like DeMar DeRozan, although he's our top scorer, I feel like he disrupts how the Bulls really should be playing. And I know that he knows the right way to play, because I've seen certain nights where he goes out there and he makes the right plays and he doesn't be aggressive on offense. So he knows what makes this team successful, but he has these moments where he just want to go on a tear and just isolate for 10 straight plays. And I feel like that demoralizes the Bulls and the way they really need to play, the sharing of the ball, the motion offense, the cutting, all of that. It just stops everything when he does that. So I feel like he's the barometer. He's the stopper. He's the showstopper, so to say.
I'm glad you said that, because I had this debate with my wife, because we was watching the game. And I had this very same question, because she was like, I trade, even though LaVine got that big contract, but I'll trade LaVine. I know we can swap for another big. I'm like, no, you ain't going to be able to trade LaVine, that big contract, too. I would have to trade DeRozan, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, he probably got another year. And I know DeRozan probably would want to go to a team that he know that's win now. You know what I'm saying? So,
but the funny part about it and the ironic thing is, the Bulls are not in win now mode because of him. They can't win because of him.
Yeah.
And Bulls fans, when I say that, they laugh and they don't understand the game. You can't have one guy being a ball stopper. The only time that I need DeRozan to take over is when all of our options can't score and we're desperate and we need somebody to take over the game. That's the only time he's supposed to do that. But he's not supposed to isolate and just be selfish and just dribble and ignore everybody and just shoot the basketball. That's not team basketball. It's not.
Right. You got to.
And I can guarantee you this, if they keep the same team and sub DeRozan for somebody else that's a team guy that can do multiple things, I can guarantee you this team will be much better than it is now. Not only that, I'm not trading LaVine over DeRozan when LaVine is younger.
Right.
DeRozan don't got that many years in the league. And right. it's to the point people are surprised that he's still doing what he's doing at his age.
Yep.
So you're going to trade a young LaVine that's in his prime, that's in his 20s, over a man that's in his 30s, that's declining? I mean, listen, we got to think, people. We can't say stuff like that.
Right.
No matter how much I'm mad at Zach, he's like one of the last people I would trade.
Yeah, he got that contract. And he, like you said, he's young. So is he you stuck with him. You stuck with him at least 3 years. You know what I'm saying? So
you can't get rid of that guy, man. He's the meal ticket. He's the guy, you know, and he's young and he needs some time to learn. You gotta understand, he came from a lot of failed programs in Minnesota. And where else was he? I believe that's the only team he was at.
Just Minnesota. So that's he really ain't been nowhere.
Yeah, he hasn't been anywhere, but the teams that he was on in Minnesota, you know, the players that they went through, he didn't have any winning team over there.
Yeah, he needs to get with a veteran. He needs to get with a veteran that's going to actually teach him. Because DeRozan ain't teaching him, you know what I'm saying? They ain't too busy just being scoring buddies. I mean, if he has somebody like a Chris Paul type of mentality, you know what I'm saying? Chris Paul mm-hmm. going to educate. You know, he going to teach somebody the game. You know what I'm saying? Even though he ain't won a championship yet, but he going to teach somebody the right way. You know? So mm-hmm. that's what he need.
All right, Kotaka, we're almost at the 30-minute mark. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to dive right into Billy Donovan's coaching extension right after this break. The Bulls Guys podcast can now be heard and followed on all social media platforms. Follow us on YouTube, IG, Facebook, and Spotify. All right, Kotaka, back on the Bulls Guys podcast. So before we went to break, we were diving into Billy Donovan and getting the contract extension. This news broke out this afternoon. Nobody knew about it, according to Joe Cowley. Jerry Reinsdorf kept it private. And somehow it leaked. ESPN reporters reported it this afternoon. And they didn't give the details of the extension, but the Billy Donovan has been extended to remain with the Bulls moving forward. Based on, you know, what he did in college and based on what he did with the Oklahoma City Thunder, getting them to the Western Conference Finals, based on what he did in college, winning the national championship, Joakim Noah's former coach at Florida, based on his track record of getting his team to the playoffs last year, I would say that he's kind of improved the team, but on a drastic daily occurrence of this season, I'm not seeing the change in the team game by game. I see them making the same mistakes. I don't see him pulling guys to the side and getting them alert on the mistakes that they're making. I don't see that the team listens to him. I see that they make the same mistakes over and over. I see selfish play. I see ISO play instead of team ball. I see plays being done that shouldn't happen, like Vooch being in the post and the ball not passed to him. I see a lot of inconsistencies in the play of this team. And I see the one win in the playoffs last year. When you start to dissect the things that he has done, you say that it's an improvement, but it's still mediocre at best. I mean, okay, I don't have any M&Ms, but I have one M&M in my hand. It's only one M&M, but it's more than what I had before, but that still doesn't make it a lot.
Right.
So he's improved the team, but he hasn't proven it by much. So I don't like the extension. I feel like Billy Donovan is a coach that is a coach that makes a younger team better. Mm-hmm. But if you want to move into a championship direction, you have to go with better coaches. And Ume Udoka is somebody I would have liked the Bulls to look at since he's being parted from Boston. What do you think?
I agree with you. I'm not 100% on board with this as well. I think that a couple of things. The timing is what's the curious part about this.
Mm-hmm.
The timing and the fact that, like you said, it was a big hush-hush secret. And the fact that the contract details haven't been leaked out yet. I'm curious about that. Two, when he was with OKC, they had a he had a 61% winning percentage, like you said, and he took him to took the Thunder to the Western Conference. So his record right now, he's 86-88 with the Bulls, so that's 48%. The conferences. The conference back then, the Western Conference, it was competitive, but it was, I don't know if it was as competitive as nowadays. So, yeah, he I think he did well for what he did. OKC, I'm not taking that from him. He did improve the team a little bit, like you said, last year. But in that token, a lot of teams didn't really know what to expect of the Bulls, too. So they sort of caught them off guard last season. Now they're not catching people off guard. You know what I'm saying? People know what to expect from him. And like you say, he's not really showing – it's showing a lot of inconsistencies, and he's not adapting to the fact that these teams, these coaches now are game-planning against him. And that's another reason why I don't agree with this, because he hasn't come out with something different.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And – I'm scared the fact they might give another, what, 4 or 5? They might say, well, it's another 4 or 5 year, extension. And it's like, damn, now we're stuck with this dude. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to play the same type of way. He's going to have the same type of rotation, because he doesn't go deep in his rotation. He doesn't look at matchups. He's using the small ball. And that just means that we're stuck with AK and Mark Eversley, you know?
But here's the thing: even in the way that him and AK want to play, they're still not doing it the right way. If you want to play small ball, you have to push the ball down the opponent's throat, push the basketball. Don't walk the ball up the floor. If you're gonna play small ball, do it correctly. Same way, like Stacey King said with Vooch yesterday when he made that switch and he didn't hard switch. If you're gonna do it right.
Right.
You want to play small ball, but you're trying to play with bigger teams and you want to play slow. No, you have to use the style that you wanted to, that you chose to use, and use it accordingly and correctly.
Right, right. And it's, I don't know, man. It's like, nah, we stuck with this dude. So I'm curious to see what the details, what the details are going to be, and what's the explanation of why the late timing. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know. I don't know if it was a wait and see or it was a hush hush. I don't know, but it's those two things that I'm pretty curious about.
Well, Joe Cowley is a liar. You know, I have my experiences covering a lot of his articles when I was writing in my day, and a lot of his information is not accurate all the time. So I don't really like take everything he says, to as holy grail. You know, I take it with a grain of salt. So. You know, with that said, you know, still, it doesn't even matter if it was a secret or not. I don't like the idea of him being extended, but it's too late. He's already extended. But what you want to see moving forward is you know, Billy Donovan improve as a coach.
Right.
You know, and if you get more Bulls fans in his ear, a lot of people in the organization in his ear, maybe he'll change some things. But that's our show, fans. We have to cut it short because, you know, we have 30-minute, you know, time limit on our shows now. Moving forward, we're probably going to try to make it longer. But for right now, we're at 30-minute. Kotaka, your last thoughts.
Well, Bulls fans, we try to stay positive. Game time tomorrow. Let's see if we can repeat and beat the Suns.
And that's going to be a huge game tomorrow. If the Bulls could go in there and get that game, kudos to them. But follow us on all social media platforms, Bulls fans. Follow us on Twitter at TalkingBulls82. Follow us on Facebook on the Bulls Guys Podcast Facebook page. And that's that. Thank you for joining us for the show. We'll see you tomorrow or after tomorrow's game. Probably what's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Wednesday. We'll probably see you Friday night at probably our next show. Go Bulls.
Go Bulls.